He was covering the Chiefs the day Patrick Mahomes was born. He was covering the Chiefs the day Mahomes brought the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime.
He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
Get over to our Facebook page here, the Sports Radio 810 WHB Facebook page. You can check out the post with the photo of the signed Sky Moore football. We're going to be giving it away, celebrating the AFC Championship game. Five straight years here. If you make sure you're following Sports Radio 810 on Facebook, like the post for a bonus entry. Tag your game day buddy in the comments below the post. It's that easy, and you can get an extra entry into the contest, giving away a Sky Moore autograph football. Contest ends Sunday at 5:30. Go to the 810 Facebook page right now and check it out. You could be winning that. Get your tickets at ticketsforless.com. Again, much love to our friends at Tickets for Less. We were over there yesterday. If you're looking to get to the game, they got you covered. Just hit ticketsforless.com right now. And of course, if you're looking for a great place to watch the game because you're not going out, how about Twin Peaks? They're proud to bring you one Adam Teicher, Chiefs insider, Twin Peaks. 29-degree man-sized draft beer. Get you some happy hour right now at Twin Peaks. Premium cocktails, TVs everywhere, made from scratch menu and scenic views. It truly is. Eats, drinks, scenic views. It's at Twin Peaks. Adam, how are you, my friend?
Good, sir. And how you doing today?
Living the dream. Living the dream. Doing whatever we can to accommodate you, my friend.
That's about time you did something better than me.
I agree wholeheartedly. What do you think? How is Mahomes' gait today? Do you think he looks just right as rain and shouldn't even be listed on the injury report?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? I feel like this week, from a Mahomes standpoint, went about as well as the Chiefs could hope. He looks okay to me, and not that I've really seen a whole lot of him moving around, but he's certainly not hobbling like he was during and after the game on Saturday last week. I mean, he certainly looks like he's in a better place. He's talked about, hey, he's able to do some things on the practice field, but he also acknowledges that practice probably isn't the best gauge of what exactly he can do. He's going to have to wait until he sees on Sunday what he can and can't do, but the Chiefs will call plays to that. And I feel like the Chiefs will be okay on offense. That part I'm not really worried about. I think they'll score some points. It's, as usual with the Chiefs, the other side of the ball that I'm wondering about.
Do you agree? I think the game comes down. I'll come back to the offense maybe a little more here in a minute, but this game comes down to the Chiefs' defensive line. They've got backup offensive linemen for the Bengals. The Chiefs are the second most prolific team in the NFL at sacking the quarterback. They've been never been close to getting to Joe Burrow, even when he was the most sackable guy in football last year. This game has to be the Chiefs putting down Joe Burrow four plus times to get a win. That's what needs to happen.
Couldn't agree with you more. And it's not just that, Seren. The Chiefs have one takeaway from the Bengals in the three games. One takeaway. That was an interception LeJarius Sneed got in the AFC Championship game last year. Other than that, they don't have one takeaway. They're going to have to end some Bengal possessions with turnovers. I think that's another key. Take the ball away from them. They can't be. They can't roll out the red carpet and for the Bengals when they get in the red zone. They got to stiffen up and have some spine in the red zone. I don't expect the Chiefs to sack Joe Burrow every time he drops back or turn him over every time they get the ball. But they got to get some things done on Sunday that they have not done against the Bengals very well in the three games. I think they're capable of doing that. I just can't – it's just hard for me to trust the Chiefs on defense to say they will. But I think that's the path to the Chiefs winning this game. Is getting some things done on defense. So, yes, I agree with you completely there.
What was your reaction, and what does it mean, Chris Jones making a point to call it Burrowhead?
Well, they're obviously, or at least in some corners of that locker room, not real happy with that. I get that, but I also like what Frank Clark had to say. they have the right to say whatever they want because they've beaten us three straight times. We haven't beaten these guys. So, I kind of get it. But on the other hand, Frank Clark is right. Bengals, have that right now. And kind of spice things up this week for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And they seem like, Willie Gay's comment aside, they're trying to play it close to the vest. I think they look like a confident bunch. Do you think they look confident?
Yes, and I think they have reason for that. I mean, I've talked to some people from out of town mostly, not necessarily, Chiefs fans, but they were like, well, why don't the Chiefs match up very well against the Bengals? I think they do. I don't think that's been a problem. The Bengals have beaten them three times, but by a field goal every time. Twice a walk-off field goal, right? Once in the regular season last year, last play of the fourth quarter, and then once in the overtime last year at Arrowhead. So, the Chiefs just have not made the plays at the right time against these guys, but I feel like they're due, they were driving for a score if Travis Kelce holds on, if he doesn't fumble in that game a few months ago or a few weeks ago. So, the Chiefs are right there with the Bengals. They just have to finish the games better than they have.
Most people's estimation is that the Chiefs have to pound the rock. They have to run the ball to be effective. That would seem to be an Isaiah Pacheco game. But if he's going to drop back, and Andy Reid's going to drop him back, you want the protection. That makes it a Jerick McKinnon game. How do the running backs get used in this game in your mind?
The Chiefs can mix it up well enough. But you're right. When he's throwing the ball, I don't think you can afford to have Isaiah Pacheco in the game. So, they'll have to, mix it up a little bit, run the ball with McKinnon and get rid of the ball quickly when Pacheco's in the game. But, they can get some things done. As far as pounding the rock, I always feel like that's a solution when things are going on, when there's an injury with your quarterback or whatever. But I never predict it with Andy Reid because that's just not his way. So I'll believe it when I see it, if that's what the Chiefs do.
Or see it when you believe it, if you're Patrick Mahomes and it comes to the Chargers and you're asked that question on a golf course. How about Travis Kelce being on the injury report? Listen, I would say it's something that he didn't make his media appearance today, but we know that is a regular case where he doesn't get around to doing his media session, but he was getting, quote, treatment. He's on the injury report as questionable for a back. Do you give any fear to that?
Yeah, well, you do. I mean, you have to take it seriously because, this means the Chiefs feel like there's at least some chance, however slim it might be, that he won't play on Sunday. I think it's a positive sign that he was a full practice participant, that he was able to get through practice okay. So I expect him to be out there on Sunday and playing well, but certainly is something to keep an eye on, no doubt.
We're talking to Adam Teicher here. Got to cut it a little bit short because we got to get to Kevin Harlan. Let's get to our Final Four brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official health care provider of the Chiefs. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I'll start you with this. Who wins? We'll go quick here. Philly or San Francisco?
I'm going to take the Eagles. I know I picked the 49ers to win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl from the NFC, but okay. I don't think so now. I'll go with the Eagles.
Mahomes over or under 282.5 passing.
I'll take the over on that one.
Okay. Over or under 48.5 yards rushing for Pacheco.
I'll take the over on that one.
Okay. A lot of overs there. Finally, give me your prediction on the game. Who wins? What's the score?
I'll take the Bengals, maybe 34-30, something like that. I think there's a path to the Chiefs winning the game, as I said earlier. I think they easily could win this thing, but doing so requires them getting some things done on defense, and I just don't trust them on that side of the ball. So I'll go with the Bengals, close high-scoring game.
Adam, you're the man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you on the Central Bank pregame on Sunday.
Good stuff, Saran.
Welcome back. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we get ready for the conference championship weekend. It's finally upon us. I've been waiting for it since, mid-fourth quarter of that game against the Jaguars. Kevin Harlan will call one of the games. You'll hear it right here on your home of the National Football League. He's got the call of the Eagles and Niners with Kurt Warner. Kevin, how are you, my friend?
Well, good. I wish I were staying in town, to be quite frank, but with Kurt's NFL Network duties, they want him doing the first game because they want him in a full stadium. So this year we had to pick the NFC because that's the first game. And so I'm going to miss not being here like it was last weekend in what was a terrific Chiefs win against an improving Jacksonville team, and sets the stage with what I think is going to be a terrific game against the Bengals on Sunday.
Kevin, nobody captures the moment like you do. The call we played of yours when Mahomes got up limping, and Trent saw it first and said it, and your "oh no" was absolutely what was being felt by the football world. I'm not even going to say Chiefs fans. It was way worse than that. You did a great job of capturing the moment of the NFL world, right? Because the whole world had that reaction. That when he went down, nobody wants to see a guy hurt like that. And the way it was, and the pain he was clearly in, I thought you did a brilliant job of really capturing the moment and the emotion of what the football community was feeling to see its brightest star in pain like that. Did you think he was going to be back in the game when you saw him go off? And I don't know how much of the altercation you guys got to see going on the sideline where they made him go get x-rayed, but how surprised were you to see him back in there in the second half?
Well, you're sure nice to say that, and thanks. And it was. I think I let my Chiefs colors come through a little bit on that one because it was. I mean, and I think you just said it perfectly, too, that you get to this stage of the season, you want to see the best players out there. You don't want to see anybody get injured on either side. And when he came up limping, because we don't see him get injured, right? I mean, like, he's in our minds, he's kind of indestructible. Now we know he's had the nicks and things in the past, but this was, and the thing that really stood out about this in retrospect was that Pollard, the running back for Dallas, was tackled the exact same way and fractured an ankle and tore ligaments. So, I mean, I guess we're talking about a matter of inches, millimeters, and that it could have been much, much worse had the weight been had fallen on a different part or a higher or lower part of that leg. Who knows what would have happened? And the knee was bent awkwardly too, as we can all attest, as we see it in our mind's eye with the replays we saw on TV. So, I mean, you know, I just think I don't want anybody getting injured this time of year because these teams have worked too hard. They've been at it too long to have any of their great players be sidelined by an injury. So I'm rooting for health for everybody so that we see the best of the best and the truest champion emerges out of the four teams that we got this weekend. But yeah, no, it was scary. And then, you know, he came back in and then Henny eventually came back in. I'll tell you what, Chad Henny has been in this position before where he's had to come in for Patrick and relieve him in a playoff game, and was big a couple years ago. And he was, with that drive, if I'm not mistaken, was a 98-yard drive. Yep. When he came in, took the team downfield. That was huge. And good for him. A guy that has been the consummate pro, backing up quarterback, accepts the role, ready to be called upon at any time, as it was last Saturday, and answer the bell. I mean, that is a pro's pro. So I was happy for Chad Henne. I don't know him. He had played for Jacksonville, we remember, for 6 years. So he had a familiarity with the organization and going against his old team and everything. But boy, he again came through for the Chiefs when they needed him. And I think every Chiefs fan should think that if Mahomes does go down again in one of these next two games, either this weekend, and if they're lucky enough to make the Super Bowl, that Henne can get in there and they don't blink. They don't change the plays. They don't change anything, and that was a good sign for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree. And he's come up big. He came up big in the game against the Browns a couple of years ago in the playoff game where he was forced to come in there.
Yes.
He's been just what the doctor ordered, right? And I believe this. Can the Chiefs beat the Bengals with Chad Henne starting? They can. Can the Chiefs beat the Niners or Eagles with Chad Henne starting? They can. Can they do both of those things in one run? I don't think so. Right? Like, that's the key. That's why Patrick Mahomes has to be out there. Henne can do it. And we saw it. Like, Matt Moore had to start two games when he had the kneecap dislocated because Henne was hurt as well from the preseason. And he got one and came close in the other. And that's what I feel like Chad Henne would do. Andy Reid would scheme it up. Henne would do a solid job. But to ask him to win two games against the best of the best, that's too much. Like, could he play tough and lose a close one to any of those teams? Yeah, he could. I'm not saying he would beat at least one and then lose in the Super Bowl. That's not my point. My point is, you know, Andy Reid can get somebody with Chad Henne. I don't think he can get two of them. That's why Mahomes is out there. I think if they thought, hey, no-brainer, we can get it done with Chad Henne, and then we'll bring Mahomes in for the bigger game, they would do it. But I don't think they can get away, though. Like, do you agree, if this was a regular season game and the Chiefs, you know, week six, the Chiefs are off to a 5-1 start, there's no way Patrick Mahomes is playing this week?
You and I are thinking on the same wavelength. I was just thinking of that as you were walking through those different scenarios. I don't know that he would. I think because of what you just talked about, you need 1 week. Let's let him rest that ankle and put the backup in there, in this case, Chad Henne. And the team will roll right along. We're off to a good start. It's not as critical right now that he starts. I think you'd have to beat him off like you had to on Saturday for not jumping back out there. I mean, he's a competitor. That's what you want in your quarterback. This guy cares so much about his product, about what the team's doing, about this city. I mean, it really is. It's a perfect marriage. And he is what you want in your quarterback, a leader, a competitor, all that stuff. But yes, I agree. I think that because it could get worse, and let's face it, he's not going to be at 100%. I don't care how superhuman he may be. A high ankle sprain is nothing to joke about and is not to be taken lightly. And they will have that thing taped up pretty good. One of the concerns, and I heard this from I was in Boston last night, I was talking with the Celtics, with the Celtics, and I was talking about this Mahomes injury, and he said, and he had been in the NFL, and he said, you know, the problem is when they shoot it up to deaden the pain, the foot goes numb, so it's you know, kind of an issue that you can't feel when you're cutting or when you're putting weight on that foot. Now, if that's the case with him, I don't know. He said in most situations, when you have that high ankle sprain and they do shoot it up with a pain-killing injection, that it also goes down to your foot and it also wears off. And so there's some things at play here. The toughness of him, I think, more than anything is coming through. And everyone was saying, well, he is so special with the great generational arm talent, but with his mobility and his ability to, you know, make these plays last longer so his receivers can get open. And he comes up with these off schedule plays, and we all get that, but he's also very effective in the pocket. And, as his career goes on, that certainly is going to be one thing that he probably will enhance even more. And not putting himself in harm's way when he's outside the pocket, kind of a sitting duck, he can stay in that pocket and take advantage of the protection and work that way. So his numbers in the pocket, by the way, are pretty spectacular in terms of touchdown percentage, completion percentage. I mean, they're incredible numbers. So I don't know that they're going to lose that much. But it will be a storyline, and it will be a factor in the game. There is no doubt.
Yeah, and Andy Reid, this is where, you know, you Andy Reid really comes in big, because I got to feel there's nobody more equipped to, one, design a game plan that takes into account the limitations of his quarterback, but still is dynamic and has some gotcha moments against the Bengals. Like, You know, we know Andy Reid's tremendous as a coach, and we know he's an incredible play caller and play designer. And, you know, I think his 12-month calendar is better than anybody else's. I think he gets more out of the offseason than anybody else. I think his 7-day calendar is better than anybody else. I think that's why his assistants do so well when they head out. They've got a good game plan for the season every time they head out there. But this is one where, you know, he's got to really flex the play design and the game plan muscles. And if he does, because he has so many plays to choose from, and he has the ones that can protect Patrick Mahomes while still taking advantage of the arm talent, then the Chiefs should be okay, right?
I would think so. I agree with everything you said about Andy. I think he's the best offensive coach in football. I think Shanahan is pretty close, kind of a 2.0 read. And I think there is going to be a lot on the shoulders of the two backs, Pacheco and McKinnon. And certainly Travis Kelce, but the Bengals have played Kelce well. This is about the most difficult opponent the Chiefs could face, I think. And I think Burrow is the closest thing to Mahomes in the NFL right now. And I've thought that for a while, and I think that even more. They've got the best receiving talent. They've got an improved offensive line. And they've got Joe Mixon, who ran very well in a bad track in Buffalo over the weekend. That was huge in the confidence building for the Bengals. And I don't know if Zach Taylor is quite the game planner that Andy Reid is, but I agree with you wholeheartedly that Reid will come up and Eric Bieniemy will come up, with Matt Nagy, that's the brain trust, will come up with something that makes sense with what they've got to deal with. But I do think it's going to be a big day for those two backs. Little passes out of the backfield, running the ball, you know, keeping Burrow off the field. These are all important things to do, even if Mahomes is healthy. These are things I think you're going to want to do. The Pacheco emergence reminds me of Williams back when they won the Super Bowl in Miami a couple of years ago against the Niners. This running back, emerging as he is at this stage of the season, second half of the year, and then what we saw the other day, this is about the best news the Chiefs could get. They have a back that complements that quarterback in the passing game. And if they somehow get by this weekend, and I believe they can and might, I think Pacheco is going to be a real factor in this game, and McKinnon too, just what they can do in the backfield as runners and what they can do out of the backfield, in particular McKinnon with his receiving. But make no mistake about it, this is the most difficult game the Chiefs will face this year, and it won't even be close. The Cincinnati team is better than the team that beat them in Cincinnati by 3 a couple months ago. This may be the best team of the 4 remaining from top to bottom right now. They are terrific.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, McKinnon, I think you definitely want to hammer away with the run with Pacheco, but McKinnon's a guy that can really block. And I wonder, you want to get to, you know, pounding the run, but they do have more than Andy Reid's ever had. And I understand he's always liked his backs to be well-rounded. He wants to be able to run it with his back. He wants to be able to throw it with his back. He'd love to be able to protect with his back. But usually it's been like a guy goes in, he does everything. This year he's settled into nicely. McKinnon's the third down back and Pacheco's the first and second down back, but he throws it enough to Pacheco that you can't just sit and say, well, he's in, it's a run. And he runs it enough with McKinnon that you can't just say, well, it's a pass. But I wonder if his hand doesn't get forced to keep McKinnon in there more to help protect Mahomes. I love your breakdown about the running backs, but I wonder if this doesn't mean it's like, hey, it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling day. It's Kadarius Toney day, right? They're going to be on Kelce, Juju second, but it's a third or fourth wideout that's going to have to get it done because McKinnon might have to stay home. He's been one of the real weapons. Like if they're going to win, Mahomes throws 4 touchdowns, 1 each to Valdes-Scantling and Juju, or Valdes-Scantling and Kadarius Toney.
I can see all those scenarios playing out. It's going to be a game where I think adjustments along the way in finding that soft spot are going to be at a premium. I love the way that, Andy adjusts, but Lou Anarumo, who is their defensive coordinator, adjusts about as well as any DC in the NFL right now. He has done a masterful job of adjusting with the Bengals' face, and they've shown it, and the numbers and the performance does not lie. We've got real smart coaches on both sidelines here. You don't reach this level for two consecutive years, as these two teams have, and not have an incredibly adept coaching staff at making moves in midstream, in mid-game, and trying to find the soft spot in either side of the ball. And that will be, I think, the chess game. If we watch close enough, and if it's depicted well enough on TV, you'll see it. And if you're in the stands, where guys are lining up. If there are more trends developing after the first couple of possessions, what happens after halftime in the first 5 minutes? These are the things for teams this skilled and coaches this good that you really begin to show what you are and the depth of what you are. And that is going to be with this particular game and these two quarterbacks, even though Mahomes is not 100%, it's still going to have a reflection of those elements, and that's going to make, and I feel the same way about the Eagles and the 49ers. Like, we couldn't have four better teams than we've got right now. These are the teams that a month ago you would have said, yep, let's get these four in. 2 months ago you would have said it at the beginning of the year. Yes, the Chiefs, maybe the Niners, but San Francisco began 3-4. Remember, Cincinnati was sluggish getting out of the block because the quarterback had an appendectomy, and he had lost a ton of weight, and he was not himself. He was beat up, man. He is conceited, but they have been red hot and have been playing very well. To go into Buffalo with all the emotion in that stadium that day, and a home field and snow and everything else, and to win the way they did and were commanding and doing it, I thought it sent a very loud and distinct message throughout the NFL, and in particular to the Chiefs, who will be very ready for that and have a score to settle from what happened last year in this stadium, in this game, exact game, and what happened earlier this season in Cincinnati with the loss.
Yeah, no doubt. You mentioned Zach Taylor. I think he's the most underrated element in this game. Like, I think he's fantastic. I was talking about him with Mike Sando, our NFL insider from The Athletic, does a great job covering the NFL. And he's like, well, Zach Taylor's not Andy Reid. And I said, he's not? Like, I get his career achievements are not Andy Reid. But if he coaches for, 23 more years, I'll bet the resume looks pretty close, especially since he's got Joe Burrow here early in his career to pile up some things. I think Zach Taylor's tremendous as a coach. Like, I get it. Andy Reid's career accomplishments are better, and there's no guarantee that, Burrow will stay healthy or that Zach Taylor will be in the game. But I think at least what they're doing, like being able to coach with a great quarterback, I think Zach Taylor's a little underrated. I don't think you can knock any of his game plans or game management. I mean, in a lot of ways, they've played three close games, and Zach Taylor's won all of them. I don't know how we could, he didn't, I just don't know how you can feel like Zach Taylor is not at least the equal to Andy Reid on a stand there on the sideline game today moment.
Well, he's only been there, we know, a couple of years, and maybe Mike's point was, the body of work at two different places and all the 10 win seasons and playoff berths and everything else, give him this, this invincible feeling to Reid. The thing that Zach Taylor has done, and we know him, of course, here in this part of the country with what kind of player he was up in Nebraska, Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. And his brother, by the way, is an offensive coach down in Jacksonville. So his brother was here just last week, press. He had to change a culture in Cincinnati. Now, listen, Burrow, who was phenomenal at LSU and is an Ohio kid, and dreamt about playing for the Bengals one day, is, he's not as one in a million shot, but everything fell into place. And he is what he was advertised to be. Like, he is as good as his pick, number one overall, what he did in college, all that stuff. And so he's gotten the benefit of the quarterback. We know that's the number one thing you need. And Andy had that in Philly for a time when he had McNabb, and he certainly has had it here in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. But Taylor has had to do even more than just be the offensive coach and design the plays and be a part of this incredible offensive attack that they've got. They've drafted very well, which he's been behind, but also the people that Duke Tobin has been their GM, and he's been, you know, getting Chase and Boyd and Higgins. I mean, these are quality receivers. They're top of the lot receivers. Chase in particular is phenomenal. He's as good as Jefferson, I think, at Minnesota. And Jefferson's in the conversation for the league MVP with Mahomes. So I think that Taylor has all the makings of what could be a legendary offensive coach. But what I appreciate from the games that we've done, and Trent and I have done a bunch of them with the Bengals, is just that he had to go in there and change the culture, as you are aware of, Soren, and kind of get what were some really good parts with that team and bring them together and sell free agents on Cincinnati as a destination. And they've made the right decision with Hendrickson coming from New Orleans and on, you know, Eli Apple proven to be a pretty good acquisition off the street. I mean, they've done a good job, but really the culture had to change, and his voice was the right voice. And I think because Burrow is such a profound leader, and he rubs off on everybody on that team, and they've got a very businesslike approach, and it's all because of him and just the way he looks and acts and carries himself. You have to have the right voice in your head to make all that work. And Zach Taylor has been the perfect coach, like Reed has been for Mahomes. Zach Taylor's been the perfect coach for Burrow. He needs only, you know, what he needs. Like Patrick, only needs what he needs, and then they take it the rest of the way. That's what these great quarterbacks do. So I'm with you on Zach Taylor. Big fan of his and what he's done and how he's done it.
Yeah, he's just tremendous. All right, you're going to have the call on that Eagles-Niners game. Is it about the quarterbacks? Is it about how healthy Hurts is? Is it about whether or not Brock Purdy can, you know, continue to look more mature than his draft pick and you know, his rookie status? I mean, he didn't throw a touchdown finally in the last game against Dallas, but they still won. Has he finally reached as far as he can go? Is that end up being the storyline that it was a great run, but he is a rookie and it's going to show against this great Eagles defense?
Well, I don't know if this has a shelf life on it or not. I think that is still yet to be written. I don't know how this affects the decision on Garoppolo and Trey Lance. I mean, this is the third different quarterback they've had to use, and it's been stunning the way the Niners and Kyle Shanahan have manipulated the story and the change of that position and put all these wins together to make it all the way for the third time in 4 years and for the second consecutive season, the NFC Championship game. That's remarkable to me. Absolutely remarkable. I don't know, and I think because we see it with Garoppolo and what he's done, and I, you know, people have a varying opinion on Garoppolo and just how good he is, and credit the system more. And I think there's a lot of system that leaves these quarterbacks in San Francisco. I'm not saying that he could plug in you or me and win, but I think there's a lot to that. And I would never want to dismiss or downgrade any kind of thought on what Purdy has done. It's been an incredible story. Not many rookie quarterbacks have taken their team to an NFC Championship game. Fewer have taken their team to a Super Bowl. And this is a kid starting half the year and not even a highly coveted pick. He was the last pick in the entire draft. So, I mean, there's a lot with this story, which is sure enticing. But I think the sum is greater than the parts with San Francisco. And I kind of feel that way about the Eagles too. I don't know. I couldn't tell you, and I'm doing the game and I've been watching tape all week and getting ready for it and doing my prep. And I couldn't even begin to tell you who's going to win that game. I don't even know if I could say, well, here's something to watch for. Here's something to watch for, because these teams both have strong defenses. They've got high scoring, if they need to, offenses. certainly Hurts is in that MVP conversation with the kind of year he's had. A lot of concern about the shoulder. I didn't see any issues with it against the Giants. I think he's going to be fine, and he's a winner. I mean, he is. He's been a winner wherever he's been, and he has blossomed into more of a quarterback in the NFL than I ever thought. Luckily, I'm not making that pick. The Eagles did, and Howie Roseman. This game to me is incredibly difficult to pick, and it will come down to a field goal. I'm convinced of that. Whereas with the Chiefs and Bengals, I feel it'll be a touchdown. I think there'll be a little bit more separation from which team wins. In the Eagle-Niner game, I don't feel that. I feel it will come down to last-minute possession, getting in field goal position, or going in for a two-point or something like that. It's going to be very close.
We're talking to Kevin Harlan. He's the best in the business when it comes to calling the game. It's time to get to, our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, an official healthcare provider of Kansas Athletics, together with LMH Health. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Kevin, I will start you with this. We're brothers in our passion for food, so I know you like a cheesesteak. The question is, as you'll be calling the game there in Philadelphia, is it Cheese Whiz you go on your cheesesteak or the real cheese?
I've gone both ways, and I like both. I don't know that I got a favorite. I guess I'd say real cheese since I'm a Wisconsin boy, and Cheese Whiz is kind of like forbidden in the state. In fact, I don't know if you can even find Cheese Whiz in the shelves of a Wisconsin grocery store. It is mimicking cheese. It's defrocking cheese. So I'd probably say I'm a real cheese man.
Oh my God. I'm hearing so many drops. I can't write fast enough to quote you on these things. I'm so excited. I heard about five drops there in the midst of what all you were saying there. So excited to bring these back to life at a later time and totally a different context from what you were just saying there. Should be great. All right. I like that one. Is it true that every time you call a game in Philadelphia, you do run up the stairs Rocky style?
Have not, will not, won't. I've seen the steps and only admired them from afar. You would think that I'd have enough of a robust feel for that scene. I love that movie, that I would do it. I haven't been close enough to get out of the car and do it. I should, though, someday.
Yeah.
But when we're there, we're working, and I don't have the chance. I've stayed at a hotel right down the street from where that is. It is spectacular. I love Philadelphia. I was in Boston last night for the Celtics and Knicks. I love Boston, and I love Philadelphia. So I'm going to my two favorite cities and back to back, which is really a treat. But unfortunately, we stay out by the airport when we do radio. TV, we stay in town. Radio, we stay out by the airport for the quick getaway. And so I'm not going to get a chance to get over there and see that, unfortunately. But I will sometime. If I ever do a Villanova game, sometimes we have a little bit of extra time. We don't do the Eagles that much on CBS because that's the Fox team in the NFC. But I do like going to Philadelphia, and I do like seeing that. And it is as majestic as it looks, but I have not done it.
Good.
I have not done it.
Good, good, good. Because I don't want to be one-upped by you. I'm glad you have not. Thank you. I too share your passion for Philadelphia. I've only been there once, and I went for the Army-Navy game. Me and Todd went, and it was great.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And we stayed at a hotel right there by the Reading Terminal Market. Have you eaten at the Reading Terminal Market?
I actually have. My wife came on a trip with me one time, and we went in that area. That's a pretty cool area, isn't it?
It's spectacular. If anybody goes to Philadelphia, you got to go there. But it is, for a guy who likes to eat, it's just sensory overload. I mean,
it's great.
It's in the train station, and it is just aisle after aisle after aisle by row of like, counter restaurants, like walk up to the counter and order. Numerous cheesesteak places, seafood places, pasta places. It's like a food court on steroids. then packed with HGH, and then I don't even know how to, I don't know what to do. Even just thinking about it, my head's about to explode. I'm so glad that you've been there, because that was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely worth the trip. You're exactly right. You
nailed it. All right, you're not calling the game, so give me your pick on Chiefs Bengals. Who you got winning this one?
Well, I'm torn on this one. This is gonna. I think this will be a very difficult game. But I've stuck with the Chiefs all season. I'm not going to waver right now. And I'll pick them 27-24, the exact score that the Bengals won by in Cincy not too long ago. But I think it is going to be an all-day deal. It's going to be tough. And I would say that even if Patrick were 100% healthy, and he knows it and that team knows it, but they'll be ready to go. You don't want them to just ease into a Super Bowl. You want them to earn it. And they've had a target on their back all season, and they've answered the bell. And I think they'll answer the bell on Sunday, but you'll be biting your nails and at the edge of your seat and turning away from time to time. It's going to be that kind of game.
Kevin Harlan says, ain't going to be no flag football played by any of these Chiefs Pro Bowlers. Uh-uh. They'll be getting ready for the Super Bowl. I love it. Kevin, you're the absolute man. We appreciate it. Thanks for the time. Have a great call of the game. We'll be listening right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the home of the NFL. And look forward to our conversation next week, my friend.
Thank you, Seren. Take care. Go Chiefs.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue Burnt end of the hour answer. What team has the most home losses in the AFC Championship game? That is the team that's been in the most. The Pittsburgh Steelers have 5. The Niners have also lost 5 times at home in the conference championship game.
Little Joe's Kansas City Barbecue is what we were playing for. Get you some tonight, joeskc.com. That incredible barbecue, whether it's the short end, the full slab or ribs. Love the ribs. I think that's by far the most underrated part. Listen, they just do such a great job on the ribs. There's so many other great things. We don't always focus on how good those ribs are. Get you a slab of ribs tonight at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. You can order right now at joeskc.com. Send it anywhere in the country at joeskc.com. Leave you with this today. Billy Packer passed away. The man who long was the face and or voice of college basketball, maybe face, I think with the rise of ESPN and mm-hmm. Dick Vitale, a lot of ways Dick Vitale became that. But when it came to the NCAA tournament, when it came to the Final Four, when it came to the national championship, when it came to the biggest games, they were on CBS, and Billy Packer was calling those games. And I'll never forget, he certainly knew the game extraordinarily well. I remember when Chris Webber called the timeout in the national championship game, and he immediately said, oh, that's a technical foul!
He knew it.
He had it for a long, long time. You knew it was a big game in college basketball because Billy Packer was calling it.
My favorite moment from him was early on in that championship game or the semifinal game, Kansas and Carolina in 08, when they went up 40-12, Billy goes, this game is over.
Yeah.
They got it to like 5 or 6, but he was right.
He was right. I also remember the Georgetown-Houston matchup. That was it, that 84 with Ewing and Olajuwon and all that great talent. The 85 with Ewing and Villanova, just great calls. Really let you know just how big the moment was. 81 years old, and of course influenced a lot of people, enhanced a lot of people's love of college basketball. Billy Packer gone at age 81. We will see you Monday at 2, a Victory Monday. Monday, we